Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. It isn't widely known that the arts and cultural industry is a significant sector of the U.S. economy. According to the National Endowment for the Arts and the Bureau of Economic Analysis, this industry sector accounted for 4.2% of U.S. GDP in 2023, which is the latest data available. What that means, in dollars, is $1.2 trillion. Plus, America's arts industry enjoyed a trade surplus of more than $36 billion. But in January, a new federal administration settled into the driver's seat of Americans' leadership and steered the economy in a different direction. The arts and cultural industry, just like all others, has been impacted by federal policy decisions, tariff wars, and executive orders. On the website of the National Endowment for the Arts is a cryptic message announcing the cancellation of a signature funding program it called Challenge America. Senior NEA officials have since resigned. The Challenge America program was a funding source for arts centered on diversity, equity, and inclusion, and it also supported the arts in underserved communities. This year, the NEA allocated more than $2.7 million to 272 groups through the Challenge America program, and the loss of those funds have a direct impact on arts organizations at the local level, as well as impact on local economies. But one organization in California that was impacted by the NEA cuts has responded to the challenge in a unique way. It took over the town. Joining me on the exchange is Serafina Palandek. She's the executive director for Sebastopol Center for the Arts. Welcome to the exchange.
Thank you for having me today.
So, Serafina, tell me about your city and the work you do there.
Oh, great. So Sebastopol is a small agricultural town in Northern California. We only have about 8,000 people who live here, 40,000 in the wider West County region. But we're very arts-focused. We have a lot going on here with the arts. Sebastopol Center for the Arts has been in office for about 30 years, and we have 9 programs. We have a film festival, open studio programs, and a great gallery program.
So you call it Seb Arts?
Oh, I do. I'm so sorry. That's my shorthand. Sebastopol Center for the Arts, we call it Seb Arts.
Okay, and so how long has Seb Arts served the city?
Oh, we've been here over 30 years. Over 30 years, yeah.
And how is Seb Arts funded?
Well, we have a mixture of contributed income and earned income, and I'll qualify what those two are. Contributed income would be dollars that come from our community, from donors, from grants, both state, federal, and local grants and foundations, from membership. That's about half of our budget comes from contributed income. Earned income. So Seb gets to special events, class fees, things along those lines.
So what kind of art do you feature and fund?
Well, we are a community arts organization. So we are really focused on the wants. And a lot of our art curation is community-led. So we have an international documentary film festival that features documentary films from locally, but also from all over the world. We have a gallery program where folks from the community can contribute their art, but we also, again, we're just about to open a fiber show here, and it has work from all over the world. So we're very small and community-driven. However, we have an international footprint. Folks all over the world send us art to exhibit here as well.
So tell me how the NEA cuts affected Seb Arts.
Well, so we started working on the grant application for the National Endowment for the Arts 2 years ago. And the grant funding was to support two programs that go hand in hand. An incubator artist program, which is a very much a program to support emerging artists to teach them how to be successful business people, right? Which is all about economic development of our community and economic development for the arts, which is integral to the success of our small town. The other part of... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The other part of it was to create a residency program, our first one in 30 years, to have the funds to recruit a world-renowned artist to come here to Spassvale Center for the Arts and create a portfolio that this artist would then work with the incubator artist to help support their development and culminate in a exhibit here. So we did get that funding, or rather, we did not get the funding. We got news from the National Endowment for the Arts that we had received the grant in the end of December. And then since then, in January, we found out that there has been significant changes. The funding is being rescinded. And in order to apply for future grants, the NEA now requires a loyalty pledge in which an organization such as ours is no longer able to promote any kind of DEI initiatives. So we would have to scrub DEI from our website, for example.
Well, that's interesting that they would require a loyalty pledge. I know that Oregon Public Broadcasting reported yesterday that the NEA withdrew more than $500,000 in grants that Oregon's art associations across the state were relying on. And the arts are a significant part of the economy right here in Ashland as well. I mean, this is an arts town with a liberal arts university. And one of our biggest tourist attractions is the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. It also has been impacted by the loss of NEA funds. How have the cuts impacted other small town arts organizations in your region that you know of?
It's rampant. It's everywhere. So a lot of the small arts organizations do rely on the NEA funding or federal funding, and then into the state funding. Another example is that Cal Humanities, so that's a California-based granting organization, all of their funding has been cut. So there's no more Cal Humanity grants, which applies to a lot of theater and performance organizations. There's potential cuts to a lot of museums. So I've seen it in Oregon. I was reading about Scale House in Bend, the Eugene Symphony, the Jordan Schnitzer Museum of Art, and that's up in Eugene. I actually used to live in Oregon for several years, so the arts organizations there are dear to my heart.
My guest is Serafina Palandek. She's the executive director for the Spassvale Center for the Arts, or SEB Arts. Serafina, you mentioned before that the arts have an economic impact in the local economy. And your organization has responded in a unique way to the loss of federal funding. Tell me about it.
As soon as we found out, we went out with a statement, and we were really clear with our community saying, hey, this is what's happening with the NEA. We will not be participating in future loyalty pledges. but what we will be doing is working to further the arts in our community. And so we partnered with a local, wonderful Piazza Hospitality. They're a local hotelier, and they supported a project that we're calling the Belonging Project. And the intention is to bring public art that engages, so really community art, engages the community all over town. So we're curating and installing a large amount of public art into this empty lot downtown, which is not being utilized, right? That'll drive tourism, that'll drive traffic. And it engages people to come into our downtown core to stay, view art, go to our restaurants, and shop in our shops.
So it's contributing to the local economy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, the funding allows us to pay artists to bring their work in, right? Which is so important to our local community. We have a great open studio program. Here's a great example of economic development for the arts. We have two open studio programs a year, and an open studio program is when artists open up their studios to the public and people drive around from studio to studio over the course of a weekend. Those two programs generated $1.2 million in revenue to those artists. So it's directly funding those artists. Of course, people driving around are going to visit restaurants, stay in town, stay in hotels, overnight stays, right, which are integral to economic development. And it's directly going to the artists.
So art doesn't just educate and evoke emotions, but it also contributes to the economy as well.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
The beauty of the region. How is the whole town involved?
Well, we have local businesses involved. This weekend, for example, we're doing Lit Crawl. We have 200 authors reading at various businesses all over town, right, over the course of the weekend. So there will be authors reading at the toy store, at the community market, at the coffee shop. So we're really trying to integrate art into the fabric of our everyday lives, right? So we have the literary arts, we have our film festival, we have this new belonging project, which is really community engagement, ways to drive business into our local community. And, you know, look, I think there's a great quote by this artist, Helga Davis, and she said, the first thing that happens when anything goes wrong is we look to our artists to help us be in the moment, to digest the moment, to protect us from the moment, and to help us get to the other side of it. And I think that is what we're trying to help, right? It's create a community where we can talk to each other, where we can be a conduit for clear and open communications with each other. It's really important to our town.
You know, it's interesting because in every movement you have music, in every movement you have art. Every movement, you have emotion as well as education that motivates people, that inspires people. You have art installations, public art installations there in Sebastopol. What is Mark Rivera's Habitat Art?
Oh, this work is so interesting and so inspiring. It's an 18-foot anatomical heart, so it's very, very large. And it's built out of small houses. So each house makes up a piece of the heart. It lights up and it interacts with people as they, it's motion detected, right? So as you come closer to it, it beats and it lights up. And it's all about the theme of, you know, being together in community and how we engage with each other. So it's literally a piece of art that's going to bring people together to engage with each other. You know, you said every movement has art leading it. You know, I think back, in the 90s, I think about where we were with the AIDS crisis. You know, mm-hmm. we had a government that was unresponsive, unwilling to even say the word AIDS. You know, there's people dying by the millions.
Right.
And the AIDS quilt came along as a memorial, as a form of ritual art, to create and memorialize the people that were dying. That quilt went on to start an entire conversation in the nation about what it meant to be a community and respond with compassion and dignity to people that were dying. So I think that's a great example of how community art and community engagement can really change the course of the narrative.
And how has the community responded? What are you hearing and experiencing?
You know, we have more support than we've ever had. So I see more people showing up for the films, more people showing up for the music, more people showing up for the literature. People need they need a place to be together, and they need to be able to experience beauty, and they need to actually look things directly in the face. So what I see in the community is a great desire to be together.
Well, I appreciate everything that you're doing. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for talking with me. I really appreciate it.
My guest was Serafina Palandek. She's the executive director for the Sebastopol Center for the Arts in California.